This message was recorded at Vision Baptist Church in Alpharetta, Georgia. Please listen as Jeremy Hall challenges us to have a grateful heart.
If you have your Bibles, open them to John chapter 8. I'm going to do the unspeakable. I'm going to preach a text that pastors already preached not too long ago in a little different fashion. John chapter 8, please. John chapter 8. When I was on deputation, and I didn't mention this earlier, I think we have some new prayer cards. I don't know if I have another one. But we're going to have some new prayer cards just in the back. But when I was on deputation, there was a verse that was on my prayer card that was my life verse. And it didn't really become my life verse. It wasn't my life verse. A pastor gave it to me, Brother Tony Howarth, gave me this verse. And after I started meditating on this verse, it became my life verse. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10. The Bible says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. That grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me." I went around churches on deputation, and I was praying this prayer that God would use me more than anybody. I was praying this prayer. I'd experienced the grace of God. I'd experienced something that I didn't deserve. And there's so many out there that hadn't. I had the grace of God in my life, and I wanted to labor more than anybody. And I said this prayer. I said this prayer over and over again. Lord, let me labor more than everybody. And then when I get to Peru, I get to put it in action. I didn't realize what I was praying when I prayed it. I didn't realize really that I wanted to labor more than everybody. I didn't realize what would be put on my plate when I got to Peru after being in the getting out of language school, just recently getting out of language school, and then the ministry. If you know anything about that, well, you know a lot about the ministry down there. You hear it all the time. But there's a lot of ministry down there. We need some help. I need some help. We have a television station with over 100,000 people in the broadcasting area. We have a Bible college that just graduated 6 this semester who are going to go out and plant churches. We have just a ton of ministry. And to be honest with you, it's scary. I want to labor more than everybody. I still have that desire. Why? Because I've experienced the grace of God. And I just want to give all that I have. And we're down there and we praise God for the opportunity to be there. But to be honest with you, sometimes I don't have a grateful heart. Sometimes I'm just like, God, what are you doing? You putting this stuff on me and I just, what is this? What are you doing with just problems and this and that in our life? And we're going to be in John chapter 8. But I imagine the majority of you know this verse by heart, but put your finger there and go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. We have a lot of people here, a lot of missionaries and a lot of different people wondering, what's the will of God for my life? Where should I go? Where should I? I know that when I was here, I was really worried about, or when I was studying with Brother Austin, I was worried about the will of God. Where exactly? Well, let me show you a verse that tells us exactly what the will of God is for our life. For every one of our lives. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, "In everything," subraya esta frase, I can't think of anything. "In everything, give thanks." Underline this phrase, give thanks. What does it say right there? "For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus," concerning who? Concerning you. Give thanks. That's hard to do. To be honest with you, when you got all this weight and all these pressures, and my problems are different than your problems. We all have different problems. But God right here says something. He says, give thanks in everything. For this is the will of God concerning you. Concerning you. And let me tell you this real quickly. God's never commanded us to do something that we can't do through His power. We won't go there. But God has never commanded us to do something that we cannot do through His power. He says, give thanks, even in these bad circumstances. And what we're going to see in this text right here is a very bad circumstance, an ugly situation. I go through ugly situations. You go through ugly situations. I mean, we're in a world that is just ugly. And what we see here, if you remember what's happening, it's the adulterous woman. I'm sure you remember the text, but we're going to look at it again. But in order to understand this text, we're going to look back just a little bit, but what I hope the Holy Spirit does tonight through this text is I hope the Holy Spirit gives you some truths to meditate on in which these truths will cultivate in you a heart of gratefulness. This is an ugly, ugly situation, but God uses it for good. And it's amazing what God does here. But let's pray to get the service started, and then we'll go into the text. Heavenly Father, I love you. Thank you and praise you for the opportunity to be here in your house. I pray, dear God, that you would, right now, I pray that you'd bind distractions, allow me to speak from the heart. I pray, dear God, that your people would have ears to hear, that they would hear the message that you'd have for them. I pray your Holy Spirit would deliver to them exactly what it is that they need, Lord, to be encouraged, to give thanks. Lord, we all want to be in your will. We all want to fulfill your will, Lord. If we don't, help us to have that desire. God, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for saving us. We know that to be your will. Thank you for the grace that you showed to us. I pray, dear God, now that you would just help us to see these truths and help us to apply these truths in this world and in this life, Lord. I pray, dear God, this in Jesus' name, and I ask you to bless the service in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, here in the text, John chapter 8, before we go into the text, I want to give you just a little bit of history. In chapter 7, if you can remember, in chapter 7, what's happening is Jesus was going to go up to the Feast of the Tabernacles. And in that chapter, he didn't want to go up, or he wasn't going to go up. His brothers kept encouraging him to go up, but he was going to go up only in his timing. And when he went up to Jerusalem, as his custom was, as should be our custom, he began to preach the Word of God. Everywhere he was and everywhere he went, he shared the Word of God. He shared truth. And as he was sharing truth, as the custom of the Pharisees and Sadducees they began to get mad. And they sent some temple police to arrest him. And when the temple police went to arrest Jesus, they were confounded by his words and his wisdom. They come back to the religious people, the Pharisees there. They come back to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees are like, what's going on? Where's this Jesus? Where is it? Have you too been been deceived by this Jesus? And then everybody goes home. And that brings us to where we are in our text. Let's look at verse 53 really quickly of chapter 7. We're going to read down to verse 12 or 11. And every man went into his own house. Jesus went into the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came into him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down, and he wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Jesus here, he's there. When we read the text, we need to try our best to put ourselves in the story. And there are some incredible truths here. If we just truly meditate on these things, it will cultivate in us a grateful heart. And we will be able to fulfill the will of God. What I want in my life is the will of God. And I hope every one of you do. What I want for my children is the will of God. I want them to continue in the faith that God has so graciously given me. And if they see me with an ungrateful spirit my whole life, what is that going to do to them? It's going to give them a misconception, wrong ideas about the God that I serve. So I want to have a grateful heart. In this text, we're going to see. Look what happens here in verse 43. And think about this. Just, it's very simple, and it's on the surface. And I know it's a very elementary message. I'm very elementary. I'm very simple, as Brother Austin put it. I can't preach profound messages. But look right here what it says. And think about these words. He said every man went into his own house. And Jesus went into the Mount of Olives. How many of you last night slept in a bed? How many of you have a house? Your own house. It may be in foreclosure. It may be in short sale or something. I know the economy's crazy and we're going through bad times. But how many of you slept in a comfortable place last night? That's something to be grateful for. Look at what he says here. Every man went into his own house. Now you got to remember, Jesus for days was sitting there. He was preaching at this temple for days. And these ungrateful people didn't even invite him to their house to stay the night. He's there preaching and teaching. And he goes, you can say, well, he was just spiritual. He's going to go up to Mount of Olives and sleep or pray all night. We don't know that. We do know what he says in Matthew. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 20, it says, "And Jesus saith unto them, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head." Think about that. God in heaven came down here, didn't have a place to lay his head. What we have right here in this text and what we see and what should cultivate in us a heart of gratefulness is the humiliation of our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's the humiliation that Jesus experienced. From his birth all the way through his life, we see here, even into his death, we see the humiliation that our Savior experienced. And what is it that we should suffer humiliation? What is it that I should cry in front of a few 100 people and leave running? When Jesus Christ came down here, he had no place to lay his head. He suffered humiliation. What this text is teaching me personally, and what it should teach you, I believe, is that you and I can be happy, content, full of joy without possessions. You and I can be happy, content, joyful without possessions. You know, Jesus said something over in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author, the writer of this wrote this down. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the what? Joy set before him. That blows my mind. Who for the joy set before endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For the joy, he did this. I don't know that I would be joyful if I went and preached a 3-day meeting and they didn't give me a place to sleep. I don't know if I went and I worked for that much time and I didn't get paid. Didn't get a love offer. I'd be full of joy. But what he's teaching us here is that we can be joyful even without our things. What would happen if this economy didn't turn back around? If it just kept crashing? Could you be joyful? Full of joy? Yes, you can. It's the will of God. And God has never commanded us to do something in His Scriptures that through His power doesn't enable us to, that He can't enable us to do. What it teaches me in this text is that the source of Jesus Christ's joy was not in the things that He possessed, was not in the recognition that He received, was not in anything other than the will of His Father. And how can I say that? How can I look what happens in verse 2? He says, Jesus went into the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple. Now, if I'd have slept on a rock all night, I don't believe I'd have returned to that temple to preach. But Jesus was different than me. The next day he comes back and he gives of himself even more. He says, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came into him, and he sat down and he taught them. He just returned back and got back to doing exactly what he was called to do, the will of God. His source of joy was not in the recognition he received. What is the source of your joy? What is the source of your joy? How can you tell what the source of your joy is tonight when it's not there and you're depressed? When it's not there, when these possessions get taken away and all of a sudden you're depressed, you can tell that the source of your joy is no longer the blesser, but the blessings. What God does, what happens in our life many times is God just starts dishing out blessings to us. Man, we've been blessed beyond our wildest dreams. Just leave the United States for just a minute and you'll realize that we have been blessed. And God starts dishing out these blessings. And what happens with us is we start collecting these blessings. And what happens is we take our eyes off of Jesus and start looking to the blessings. And then when the blessings aren't there any longer, we're depressed. The source of Jesus Christ's joy was not in the blessings, was not in the recognition that he received, was not in the possessions that he had, but the source of his joy was in fulfilling the will of his Father. And what we see here is his humiliation. We see the humiliation that he experienced, and it's something that should in us cultivate a heart of gratefulness. Continue, and you'll see a little bit more of this humiliation that I'm talking about. Look what's happening here. And early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came into him, and he sat down and taught them. Verse 3, and the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set him in her midst, they said unto him, Master, what? This woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? You son of God, what do you say? He's being mocked here, and we know this from the text. They're tempting him. They're doing these things. But what we see here, if you remember Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says, and Jesus said, where is it? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down on the right hand on the throne of God. In verse 3, it says, for consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. And what we see here is the contradiction of sinners against our Lord Jesus Christ. They're coming in and they're going against the King of glory who has came down to give himself. They walk in and imagine the humiliation. The humiliation of the woman, but the humiliation of the Savior. I mean, this is the King of glory. He's sitting down there just with a little group of people, and somebody comes in to try to trap him. But there's something else that we see here that is incredible, and that should cultivate in us also a heart of gratefulness. And that's his infinite wisdom and how he dealt with the situation. And I praise God for his infinite wisdom. I praise God for how he deals with situations. Look, and you all know the text. He says, they came in and they start accusing him. And they start, what'd they say? Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? Verse 6. This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger, wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. Now put yourself in the story here. Jesus is sitting there teaching, and there's just a little group of people there, and they bust in with this lady, humiliated, and humiliating Jesus. He is the great I am sitting there in front of them in person, and they bust in and they're interrupting him. Look at the text. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. What sayest thou? What they start to do to Jesus right here, is, of course you guys know, is they start to use the law to trap him. They start to use the law to trap him. Now we know if Jesus would have said, kill her, he would have lost that little group of people that he had around. He had purpose in being there in that temple because later on we see in the text that many would believe on him. He was there teaching those people. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he came there to preach the gospel. And the way in which he was going to respond to this situation would determine the eternity of those people. And we see his infinite wisdom in how he deals with this. And what we see here is something incredible. I'll get to it in just a minute. But Jesus, put yourself in this story. He's there teaching these people. So he comes in, kill her. He would have lost that whole group of people there. Why? Because he was preaching a message of grace, mercy, of forgiveness. Well, Jesus, where's that forgiveness, that grace, that mercy you were just preaching? But if he would have said, no, the law doesn't apply anymore. No, we're not under that. We're under grace. No. Now that law, it's annulled. Then he'd have made himself out to be a liar. And what this text teaches us is something incredible about the law. I love it. I love it, and I hope you see it, and I hope I can share it with you. But we see how the two of them go hand in hand. And we see how it is perfect, and it is good, and it is right, if it's used lawfully. You see, these people brought the law in, and they tried to trap our Savior with the law. That's not the purpose of the law. The purpose of the law is not to trap someone. The purpose the law. What does it say over in Romans chapter 3, verse 20? Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law is good. The law is right. The law is perfect. The law is God. It's a portion of God himself. It's good. Psalms 19. We sing it here. 1 Timothy 1:8, but if we know that the law is good, if a man use it lawfully. But what happens here? They begin to use it unlawfully. I want to give you three things really quickly. I got to hurry. Three things really quickly. Three principles. Just three little principles, and we're going to continue. Just because someone uses the scriptures does not mean they're talking on God's behalf. You all know this, and they're talking truth. Just because someone uses the scriptures and sounds real good, and we know this because we're in a good Bible-believing church, but there's a world out there that doesn't, especially a Catholic world in South America. Where 81% are on their way to hell. There's men down there who are using the law unlawfully. Just because someone's preaching or someone's speaking from the scriptures does not mean that they are talking on God's behalf. Those that are quick to cite the scriptures to condemn others are normally the most guilty. And a third one, really quickly, and I'll continue. Those that are quick to point out the splinter in the eye of another generally have a beam in their own. Just three principles that you can see from this text very clearly. You see these men using the law to try to trap our Savior, Jesus Christ. That wasn't the function of the law. The law is good, it's right, if it's used lawfully. What is the function of the law? We know the function of the law is to, through the law we have the knowledge of sin. We compare ourselves to the scriptures, and through that we can understand that we are in need of something. We are in need of a Savior. We're lost and dying and on the way to hell, according to what the scriptures say. That's the function of the law. But these guys were using the law unlawfully. And what happened? Look what happens here. And I'm hurrying. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them. They come in, they start accusing him with the law. Verse 6. This they said, tempting him. Yeah, verse 7. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her. Let him cast the first stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. So they bring the law in to try to trap Jesus, and what does Jesus do? I love this. It's incredible what he does. He just starts to doodle in the dirt. It's like, y'all are so ignorant. That's what he's like. I mean, it's like, man, you still don't get this message. It's like, you just don't get it. We don't have any idea what he wrote in the dirt. It's fun to speculate. We won't speculate because I know I'll get criticized for it later in a little room upstairs or something. But but what happened here? What happened here is Jesus looked at them and he spoke his word, and the law fulfilled its function. It showed those people who they were. You see, because this was written in Deuteronomy chapter 17. If you're gonna bring an accusation against a brother, you're gonna be the first to cast a stone at him. And you can learn something there. There's a principle. If you got a problem with a brother, don't bring it to the pastor. You cast a stone. But what we see here, and what is amazing, and what should cultivate in us a heart of gratefulness, is the infinite wisdom of Jesus Christ. And how he dealt with this situation. He didn't go against the law. He didn't go against grace. We see his infinite wisdom, and we give thanks for that. I give thanks to God for his infinite wisdom in dealing with me. You should give thanks to God for giving, showing his infinite wisdom for you, because what you deserved was hell and damnation. What I deserved was hell and damnation. But in his infinite wisdom and mercy, and sobre todo, and above all, something that should cultivate in us a heart of gratitude is his grace. He showed you in his infinite wisdom and mercy, he came up with grace and he gave it to us. But by the grace of God, we are what we are. And it's only by the amazing grace, his amazing grace, that we're going to go to heaven one day. And just those basic truths, thinking and meditating on these basic truths, should cultivate in you a heart of gratitude, no matter if you have possessions, no matter if everything gets taken away. And look, this is amazing. You see it right here in this lady's life. She experienced the amazing grace of God. And look how she experienced it. It's amazing. She deserved something, as do we all. She broke the law. So what does that carry? It carries the death penalty. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. What happens here? Look, and they said, they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one. He confounded them as well, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. She deserves something. It says very plainly that she was caught in the act of adultery. She deserved death. But what did Jesus do? It's amazing to see this. What did he do? Through the law. Through the law, he was able to show her grace. Through the law completed its function. Galatians 3:24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, or our tutor, is what it says in Spanish. Our tutor to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. The law right here is completing its function. It's carrying this. It carried this lady to Christ so she could receive the grace that he was wanting to give her. And that's what the law does for you and for me. We give thanks for the law. We give thanks for grace. But we give thanks for the law. It's something that should cultivate. He's given it to us. Meditating on these truths should cultivate in you and me a heart of gratitude. And we understand that this lady got saved. Or it looks like she got saved anyway. Look what it says here. And I'll finish. It says, she said, No man, Lord. Lord, she called him Lord. The rest of those guys, they called him Master. But she called him Lord. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in the heart, I can't say it in English, it's paraphrased, and believe in the heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Lord, these things, thinking and meditating on these truths, even in a bad economy, even in a bad situation, will cultivate a heart in you. Philippians chapter 4. Think on these things, whatsoever things are true, just, honest, pure, holy, lovely, of a good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Do you really want to be in the will of God? Do you have a grateful heart? I'll read this verse one more time and I quit. In everything, everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Concerning you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I love you. I thank you and I praise you for your word, Lord. Thank you for the humiliation you experienced on my behalf. Thank you for the infinite wisdom you showed in making a plan for me to escape damnation. And most of all, thank you for grace. That saved me. God, I pray that if there be someone here tonight that don't know you as Savior, that they would see themselves, compared to the law, that they would see themselves as sinners in need of a Savior. I pray that the law would complete its function tonight, that it would carry one of these lost sheep to you, Jesus, that they'd be saved. Lord, I pray for those that are in here tonight that are experiencing hardships and troublesome times. I pray, dear God, that this message would be an encouragement to them. That it would just remind them of your goodness and your mercy and your grace. And the things that we don't deserve, Lord. God, I pray that you would use this service to bring honor and glory to your Son, Jesus Christ. Every head bowed, every eye closed where you are. Pastor's coming. The Lord spoke to your heart tonight. Respond. Do you truly have a grateful heart? Are you thankful? Did you come in here with a thankful spirit? Thanking Jesus for the opportunity to just gather and to hear His word. What kind of spirit are your children seeing? What kind of spirit are your parents seeing in you? Does your neighbor see? Are
your heads bowed and your eyes closed. I really believe that was a great message for us. Maybe tonight you're not experiencing that gratefulness. Maybe you're not realizing how good God has been to you. Maybe you don't have a sweet spirit with Him. You ought to come forward and just say, God, I will recognize your goodness and your work in my life. Just tell Him, thank you. And in everything, give thanks. You might be going through some really hard times right now. Some of you might be in a process of financial difficulties or family difficulties. But you can tonight come and say, Lord, in everything, I will give thanks. You can come and trust the Lord. There might be somebody here that's not born again, and you don't know that you'd go to heaven if you died. I want you to know that you have sinned against the Holy God, and the law is good to show us that we are sinful and weak, and we need God, and you tonight could be saved. If there's anybody that would like tonight to put their faith and trust in Christ, if you'd hold your hand up, I'll get a counselor to you. We'll show you how to be saved. Is there anybody like that? Father God, I love you and I thank you and I praise you for what you're doing. And I pray that you'd help our church to be a thankful people, a grateful people. God, help me. I need to be so much more grateful to you and to others. And I pray, God, that you'd help us in whatever situation we're in to love you, thank you, praise you, and give thanks. And we'll give you praise.
You have been listening to Jeremy Hall, missionary to Peru. For more information on Vision Baptist Church, you can visit us at www.visionbaptist.com.